A medical journal editorial is saying that we should have a right to know, if we're going to have surgery, how much sleep our doctor got before we go into the operating room. And we should even have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not doing the surgery today if it's an elective surgery, because you only got a couple of hours of sleep and I'm worried about that.
That's right. This is an editorial in today's New England Journal of Medicine that says that patients should have a right to information with regards to how much sleep their surgeon has had, and it focuses on surgeons. And really, it has some merit when you think about it. We have all kinds of rules for other professions that involve public safety, and for everything from airline pilots to truck drivers to, I mean, you name it, there's always where an activity requires specific attention and to be sharp at what you're doing. You need to have enough sleep regardless of your level of expertise. The less sleep you have, the more degraded your skills will become, especially if you've gone without sleep for 20 hours or 22 hours, which can happen at times. And they're talking about elective surgery, so that means that you're not dealing with emergency surgeries where the physician's on call, they're awake, they're the ones to respond to an emergency, and that the emergency needs to be dealt with. Emergencies also, your adrenaline tends to get going, you tend to be quite alert, but with elective surgeries, it's planned surgery. You know, you're going in for gallbladder removal because you have some gallstones, going in for a knee replacement surgery. These type of things are elective surgeries, and really it makes a lot of sense to actually have and to take care of your staff and to say, you know, if you've had less than enough time to sleep and rest, patients should be aware of that. They're saying, though, Mark, that patients should make a decision, though, on the basis of what the surgeon tells them. That is, if the surgeon says, yes, I've had, you know, 4 or 5 hours of sleep, the patient can still say, okay, well, let's go ahead with it anyway. So they're just simply saying the information has to be out there.
And that people should have a choice.
Correct.
Now, do you think that more graphic and larger warnings on cigarette packages will make a difference in discouraging people from smoking?
No, I don't. And the reason is that this approach, although a laudable approach, does not really demonstrate understanding of how people assess risk and how people look at fear. And a good example of this, Mark, is that and I'm sure you know and I know of somebody who smokes who has a good friend who died of lung cancer because of smoking, and it doesn't change their behavior. They continue to smoke. The people become afraid when something directly affects them more on a personal level with regards to their own health. So, for example, the caller that said they're not going to do anything until their doctor shows their chest x-ray has a spot on their lung, right, which is too late, but it also demonstrates that when there's an immediate effect on somebody, that's when people will act. And with regards to young, for teens, this won't do a thing. Teens are focused on independence, and if you approach cigarette smoking as a loss of independence, that something is controlling them and that their behavior is altered by the fact that they smoke, you're more likely to influence behavior as opposed to showing them graphic images.
All right, Barry, thank you.
You're very welcome, Mark.